Welcome to Lecture 11, everybody. Starting late as usual, because it's me. Let's deal with the questions, and then let's get on to the fun stuff, in theory.
Yeah, just Jason, I had a question. What are your thoughts on for when doing lab configurations and stuff? I mean, I've got the home lab here, but your thoughts on using something like Dynamips, because I've been reading a lot about it, and there seem to be a lot of people using it. So just curious what your thoughts are on that.
I've never heard of it. What is it?
That's the Cisco router emulator, the basically the virtual machine.
Oh, yes. It only runs. I don't know whether it's been enhanced, but I thought it only ran like 7200 series iOS or something. It was one of the weird router models, and you can pretend there's a couple of Ethernet interfaces and stuff. But as far as I recollect, it's very CPU intensive.
Not if you tweak it. You can. I've been able to get two or three routers going with, you know, very little, no, minimal CPU load if you get it tweaked. And no, it's 7200, 36, 26, two or three other ones now.
Okay. I'd be interested in a URL for that at some point. Just send that to me and I'll have a look. When I looked at it, it was only the 7200 series and it was highly CPU dependent. Keep in mind that on a home lab setup, you're fine. You are breaking the law and using iOS outside Cisco's license agreement. And any copies of iOS images you obtain to run with that emulator probably don't belong to you, and you probably didn't pay the licensing fees. So it's a bit of a grey area. As far as the Academy is concerned, we cannot officially support your use of Dynamics. We would prefer you use our remote bundle. And if you do happen to get that working, then that's good. But we can't officially roll it out as part of the curriculum because nobody's paid the licenses for the iOS images that they're running.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, look, I'd love to be able to roll the emulator out and stuff, but unfortunately the actual cost of the iOSs and stuff is incredibly expensive, and the actual upgrade costs on the iOSs is incredibly expensive. And whilst most people go on the internet with iOS Finder and grab their images that way, it's sort of one of those sort of grey areas that we try not to involve ourselves with. But if it works for you, fine. If you can get it running, good. I will have a look at it. But, I mean, the problem you've got with emulating three routers or whatever, though, is that unless you've got multiple Ethernet cards, it's not going to emulate multiple Ethernet. So if you've only got one Ethernet card, they're all going to be bridged onto the one Ethernet. So that is going to limit the sort of topologies that you can build from a technical standpoint.
Okay. Yeah. You can. Yeah. You can. Maybe you and I can talk about it later. Yeah. You can get pretty complex with it now. They've got people doing basically entire CCIE labs or you know mock-ups of them in this thing. So it's quite interesting. Yeah. We can talk about it. Some other, whatever later.
Yeah. I'm honestly not sure where Cisco stands with that, and it is something I'm going to have to look into, because obviously if there is a more accessible way of doing these things with an emulator, I would like to see it rolled out. But I need to look at the legalities of that and see whether, as an academy, we can support that officially. I hope we can. I'd like to do that. Alrighty. Any other questions before we get started? Oh, Jaws 13's out, everybody. If you didn't see it spattered across every mailing list on the planet that has anything to do with people who have any form of vision impairment. But in case you didn't know, and you're living under a rock, Jaws 13's out. Okay, right, all done.
I think I might need a bit of time, Kerry, to at least get started on the final exercise, the whatever it's called, Binary 2, the one with the Australian offices. I seem to have a mental block on that one, so I'd probably like to set up some time with you whenever it's convenient.
Yeah, that's fine. Does anybody else want me to talk about Binary Exercise 2? Because I can talk about it here if you like. Otherwise, I usually bounce around on Skype a lot of the time, except for now when I've closed it down, and more than happy to talk to you about it. So it depends if anybody else wants to talk about that exercise. Does anybody want me to talk generally about that exercise for a minute or two? I know John's already put his in, and I think a couple other people have put theirs in as well. think I saw Jason's. Can't remember. I remember marking some.
Yeah, I must confess, I know I'm a little behind, but I'm I'm not done mine yet either. I've had a few events conspiring against me here, but yeah.
If the others have done it, Kerry, I'm happy to hunt you up on Skype later so we don't take time from the practical stuff you're going to demo. It's no problem.
Well, I was going to take, I'll just take a minute or two and explain basically what the premise of the exercise is and how these things work. And then if nobody's any the wiser after the 2 or 3 minutes I spend talking about it, you all come over and lynch me or something. So I don't know whether people are aware of what a VPN is. A VPN is a virtual private network. A virtual private network is a system that packages up information, encrypts it theoretically with strong encryption, and shovels that information over the public internet and decapsulates it at an endpoint, at another endpoint. So, say for example, Jason wants to work at Freedom Scientific because he's just come home and he just cannot think of not doing more for the blind community, and Matthew's decided to do the same because they're obviously driven by this need to work 23 hours and 57 minutes a day for the blind community. These may bear resemblance to people, either living or dead. They may wish to connect to their work VPN and read their email and handle their support cases and all of those sorts of things. Oh, I might do the same with the Cisco Academy for the Vision Impaired. You connect to our VPN and work on stuff at work. So the premise is that your encryption, your traffic is encrypted and shoveled across the public internet. It is decapsulated at the endpoint or one of your gateways at work or whatever, and it is then put out onto the work network. Is everybody cool with that very basic, simplified definition of a VPN?
And that's what's known as a tunnel, is it?
VPNs can use tunneling technology. It depends on how the VPN is set up. There are a number of VPN technologies. There is what we call IP in IP, which means that you wrap one IP datagram inside another and shuffle it across the network. Then when it gets to the other end, it is the outer IP headers are pulled off and then the packets are handed to the network layers on the remote machine and they are routed as if they were received on that local machine. That's what we call an IP and IP tunnel. If you're in Cisco land, you'd be interested in what we call GRE or generic routing encapsulation, I think that's what it stands for. And that's another way of tunneling where you wrap stuff up and shovel it across and then when it gets to the other end you take it off. You've got other tunneling solutions such as PPTP, the point-to-point tunneling protocol, which is where you wrap IP datagrams up in point-to-point packets, shovel them over the network and decapsulate them at the other end and pull the headers off and deliver them as if they were delivered locally. And then you've got what we call a TUN/TAP device driver, which acts as a user space wrapper for IP datagrams, wraps them up, shovels them across the internet, and then unwraps them when they reach the other end. So what actually happens is they're wrapped up. The packets are from, say, 192.168.1.x to network 192.168.2.x. They are encapsulated, they're wrapped up, they're destinationed to remote-GW from local-GW, and the packet is basically a packet from local-GW to remote-GW, and inside that packet is another packet that is actually going to be handled by remote-GW and shoveled out onto remote-GW's network. Am I making any sense? Shall I assume not?
That piece makes sense.
Okay, so say for example, I don't know, this is a silly example, but you have this secret message that you have to get to your significant other, but unfortunately you don't want your mother-in-law to know what the message is. So what you do is you wrap it up in an envelope and you put the destination address of significant other on it and you seal it with a wax seal so that mother-in-law doesn't open it, and then you give it to mother-in-law and say, can you please give this to significant other? And the mother-in-law goes and does all of her shopping and whatever else she's going to do, and then, you know, drops it off at significant other's place, and significant other takes the package away, opens it up, and reads the secret message, TM. That's sort of a real-world example of a VPN. So basically, all the mother-in-law knows is that the message is from you to significant other, or from significant other to you. She doesn't know what the contents of that message are. So that's the premise of a VPN.
Okay.
Now, as far as the exercise is concerned, so what we're basically doing is we are looking at... usually inside an organization, you use non-routable IP addresses. Why? Because you don't have enough IP space to use routable ones, unless you're the CSIRO who has 12 Class Bs. And when you have non-routable IP addresses inside the organization, you normally sit things behind a network address translator, and everything goes through the network address translator, is assigned the public address of the machine that is going to send them out onto the internet, and then they send out onto the internet and received by another machine. And everybody cool with that bit so far?
Yep.
So, all you've got to do on this particular exercise is assign a unique, non-routable network to each office, and you need to say that the points that they're leaving, the remote office and the local office, are Sydney-GW, Perth-GW, Melbourne-GW, Adelaide-GW. So a packet from Sydney to Sydney to Perth will go Sydney network, Sydney router, Sydney GW, ISP cloud, Perth-GW, Perth network. Which I would like to add that John documented very well. Well done, John. So, what you need to do is work out where the packets are going to travel to from, where how they're going to go to the other networks, and formulate the routing tables that will allow those packets to travel. And there is a little bit of work in there, as poor old John found out, but he did a very good job, and his is all good, so he can be very happy. Are there any specific questions that stand out, or is that a good enough overview, and then I can catch up with you individually, Matthew, or has anybody else got any specific questions that they want to pose before I move on? Does anybody want to know why you'd want to do this? Sorry, go ahead.
No, so I just want to clarify. So we actually need to come up, and with what we send you, the subnetting scheme needs to be in there, right? Like Perth is going to be on this subnet, and Melbourne is going to be on this subnet, and that you want all that written out.
Yeah, and you can use /24s and /26s if you don't want to write 255, 255, 255.0, because I get sick of reading that. So if you want to shorten them to, you know, /24 or whatever, CIDR notation, feel free. But then you also need the routing table for the Sydney and the Perth and the Darwin router, I believe, is the ones I wanted the routing tables for.
Now, do you want the routes to all locations from those, or just to, you know what I mean? Like, do I need to say Sydney to, you know, Perth, Darwin, Canberra, et cetera, et cetera?
Certainly
or
do.
Just, okay.
Sydney's got to be able to talk to everything. And the wrinkle is that the traffic from Sydney to Darwin has to go through Perth. So obviously Darwin traffic has to be sent through to the Perth router, which will then take care of sending the traffic to the Darwin router.
Okay.
Is this a pain? Yes. Is this a lot of routing table? You betcha. Is this a lot of work? Yep. What I'm trying to show you is that building a network topology as a network administrator is real work and requires a fair bit of messing around with numbers and IP addresses and routing tables, and that's in theory why they pay us so much.
You also had a note in the exercise about to be careful that some of these subnets might require more space than a Class C. But when I looked at the numbers that you listed there, unless I was too tired, which is possible, I thought that the need had to be for more than 255 hosts for a Class C to not be sufficient. And I didn't see any specifications that were that large but maybe I didn't understand.
Congratulations, you found the red herring. I just said watch out for it. In this particular exercise, none of them are bigger than a Class C. But they could have been.
Oh, you tried to trick us. What a man.
Well, it's just something you got to look out for. I think, because I know it's all a lot of juggling numbers and stuff, and it's a lot of shuffling things around to get them all in the right orders and stuff, so may I recommend Excel or something similar if that helps you manage the numbers. But obviously, yeah, there aren't any bigger than a Class C. So in this particular situation, you don't have to worry about it.
And I kept reading it and reading it to see what I was missing. That's all right. I'll get revenge later. Carry on.
Okay. Look, if you'd asked me weeks ago, I would have told you that there was nothing bigger than a Class C, but it's all good. I just said watch out for that possible corner case, but it just turns out in this particular one, it wasn't. Alrighty. Any other pending questions on that at the moment? Anybody a little more enlightened about this one, perhaps? I mean, I realize it's still a bit scary, but anyone a little bit more enlightened?
I think so.
Yep.
I certainly have a better handle on what I need to do, and I'll get a start on it before I bug you.
No, that's fine. As I said, I'm quite happy to explain it and talk about it and stuff. It's not a black box that you guys are trying to pry open. This is not where all the subcontractors have run away and left the network half-built and you're finished to build it. I am here for consultancy, so it's not as bad as real life. All right, shall I get some cables up and running, and we'll look at demoing a couple of these bits and pieces that we're going to do with the configuration before we get hooked into the exercise?
Sounds. Looks like I'll be confined to using Mac Terminal tonight. Am I going to be frustrated, Corey?
No, you should be alright. What do you think, Corey? I reckon it'll be alright.
Yeah, I think it should be okay.
Telnet's working. I'll be fine.
Should I be logging back into the bundle?
Not yet. Okay, let's see if I can get this going. So 3 to 2. 2 to the 3 to the speakers. Okay, let's see. So that's 3 to the speakers. Now I need a microphone to 2.
Kerry, is that broken because of Windows 7, or is it something else? Because remember, I couldn't get mine working on Windows 7 either.
It just means I haven't actually changed the names of all the audio devices. The audio device names change from XP to Windows 7. So rather than line 1, line 2, line 3, they become virtual cable line 1, virtual cable line 2. So I've just got to change all that, which is just a pain. Okay, let's see how we're situated here. Let's see if I've broken this. Okay, can we hear me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yep.
Okay. Alright, let's see what else can break here. I'm going to go on constant key here for this. Okay, so I'm constantly keyed. Let's... JAWS. Is my braille working in case this blows up? Drop this into line 3. Alright. Can you guys hear JAWS?
You've got...
Oh, good.
Yep.
Now, the other thing I found out about that virtual audio cable thing, and I realise this is not relevant to lecture, but I'll just mention it in case you want to try a different way of doing it. You don't have to use Tyler's script. What you can do is write a batch file that goes start space... I'm going to shut Messenger down in a second. Start space audio repeater space slash input colon quote the name of the input device quote space slash output colon the name of the output device, and that stuff is actually documented in the audio repeater section of the VAC help file. So you might want to try it that way, or you could just be lazy and wait for me to write the batch file and then steal my copy. Oh. Supposed to go away. Now. Grace, Aaron has hacked Catch's web page to get you in and fix their JavaScript. I want to close that. What? Yeah, he said to get in touch with you. Okay. Catch of the Day, for anybody who cares, is a deals site that we buy things from, and there's a birthday batch, and apparently their JavaScript is broken, and one of my friends has just fixed it, so you can get in.
Yeah, no, it's advertised.
Okay. Alright, alright, you guys can all hear my jaws and everything, we're all good? Yay, and it's actually working better under Windows 7 than it did under XP, interesting, the sound drivers don't seem to be breaking up as much, so that's always good. Now, alright, so what I want to show you guys first is... I want to show you guys how to grab configuration snippets. Now, have I done this before? I didn't think I had with you guys.
Don't think so.
Grace, can you DM I am Chris N and tell him he's missing a good practical lecture?
Yeah, I don't have his IM, but I can.
Okay, look, if he's not going to turn up, it doesn't matter. But, you know, that's his thing. But, yeah, this is the really good practical one that everybody wanted to be at. Okay. So, sorry, I have done this before, or I haven't shown you how to grab the configuration files?
No, you have not.
Oh, okay, let's do that. All right.
I think what you were talking about was having us log the configuration and then feed it back in.
There's two ways to do it, and I'm going to show you both. All right. So I'm going to connect into the bundle. Alright, we're in. So, I want to do router 1's configuration just because it's easy. So, /C3. Alright. Alright, the way you do this, the easiest way to do this, is to go File, Log, let's call it router1.log. Now it'll save it in the TerraTerm program directory, by default that's fine for what we want. Now, what I've got here to show that we're logging... Okay. And that is your log window. Now, so what I do here is simply go in here, show up, run. Shut that up, we don't need to hear all that. Spacebar on the more prompts. Space. Oop, there we go. And that is that dumped. So now I stop the logging, so I go into the log window. Okay, so you might say, well, what's so big about that? If I go into the TerraTerm directory, so colon / program files TerraTerm, here we are, maximize it. Okay, so we get rid of this bit. That's all irrelevant. Okay, so grabbed. Gone. I needed to get rid of that line as well, so let's just do that. And my punctuation is set too low, shame on me. This is all configuration data that I'm keying down through now. Now, it's very important that you take out any encrypted versions of passwords, because when you put the encrypted version of the password into the router as the encrypted version, you will not actually be able to get in because you won't know what the decryption of the encrypted hash was. Now, see how there's a dash dash more dash dash line? That has to go.
The exclamation marks, are they denoting that this is a configuration file?
No, they're comments. That's exclamation mark. You can go exclamation mark. This is Corey's rockin' config that will make him millions and millions of dollars just as soon as the Cisco talent scouts find him.
Isn't there a way to dump that config so it doesn't page it out anymore? Isn't there a way to just make it dump it as one big blob?
There is, but you run the risk of buffering problems, whereas if you dump it all and the flow control fails, you might end up with it corrupted halfway through the middle. But yes, you can set no paging or something. What's your thought on that, Kevin? Have you done it without paging? Or I found that sometimes you can actually lose bits of config if you're dumping a lot of stuff.
Can you do a global search and replace for that dash more thing if you're in a hurry?
Well, there was actually stuff on the same line that needed to be taken out as
well.
Yeah,
you're asking for trouble. I would just TFTP or something like you're going to be doing shortly anyway.
Yeah, you can TFTP them off. That's another way of doing it. But I'm showing this one because it's quick and dirty, and if you've got a copy of TerraTerm in front of you, then that's what you can use in a pinch to grab the configuration off a router before you do horrible things to it. Which, of course, you'll know exactly what horrible things you're doing because you're a graduate of the Academy. Yeah, right. Okay. So that's saved. Now, what you can then do is, when you're sitting at a router prompt, you can transmit that file using file send text file, and it will actually type all of that into the router and configure it. So you go config t, and then you paste that in. So is everybody cool with that method of config grabbing?
You said that any sections in that text carrier that had references to passwords, you'd have to change those and first?
Yes, you'd actually have to take those lines out, because like if it says enable secret exclamation mark percent caret dollar MVP capital Z39714 whatever, if you put that in as the enable secret, you're not going to be able to reverse the one-way cryptographic hash to get what the actual password is out. So even if you set the password, the enable secret, to Cisco, it will actually come up as an encrypted string. So let's demonstrate this. Okay. Config t. Enable secret Cisco. In show run. Okay, let's look for it. Okay, there you go. Enable secret $1. That is the encrypted hash of the word Cisco. Now, if you feed that in like that, you're not going to know how to reverse that cryptographic hash function. You would actually have to run a password cracker on that encrypted hash to get the password back. So, let's not. Alright, I'll just take the enable secret off that router now because we don't need that there. But does everybody understand how that works?
Yeah, so you basically tell it that you're going to give it the config and then you just feed it the text file.
Yeah, you feed it the text file and take out the passwords and put the passwords in by hand afterwards. Okay, so now we've taken off the enable secret. Now, any questions on any of that so far? If you want to send a file, there it is there, send file, dot dot dot, and you can actually send it as a text file. Okay, there is another way to get configs off these beasties. So, let's have a look at what configuration our router is here, because I can't remember. Show IP brief. No.
at port number shows DNS. Control U. Show. Two.
Shit.
Enter a second complete command port number.
Hang on. Isn't there a show IP brief or something, Kevin? I'm trying to remember.
Show. Two. We enter error for second complete command port number. Show.
Wouldn't it be show INT brief?
We enter error for second complete command port number.
Yeah, that's what
show
I was thinking.
INT.
Brief.
We enter error for second complete command port number.
I'll just show int.
Int.
F.
At port number showing past DNS. Zero. At port number showing past DNS. Zero. Slash at port number showing past DNS. Zero. Slash. Slash. Zero. At port number showing past DNS. At port number showing past DNS. Space. Space.
I zero. Don't at remember show IP brief.
At port number showing past DNS. Zero. Zero. Space. Enter. Present complete command. Port number. Show. In. At port number showing. T. At port number showing
interfaces. Okay.
At port number showing interfaces past DNS. Question was zero. Past two-way interface number. Rotate. Zero. At port number showing interfaces. At port number showing interfaces. Zero. At port number showing interfaces. Zero. Zero. Enter percent complete command. Port number.
Hang on, why is
port number showing interfaces past DNS. Zero. Show interfaces past DNS. Zero. 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 Enter percent complete command. Port number.
Okay.
Port number showing interfaces past DNS. Zero. Show interfaces past DNS. Zero. Question. Slash port number showing interfaces past DNS.
That's what I want.
Okay,
this is 25.1, and if I remember correctly, the workstation on the same pod is 25.2. Let's go and have a look.
Control B is connected. Put status forward with me. Charge the top,
Hey.
CMS creator. Charge the top, CMS center, slash command.
Show me
this. Enter status code with the window slash IP code. Charge the top, enter slash H for command menu.
Actually leaves big blocks of blank space at the bottom of that. Okay, workstation 1, let's have a look at this one.
Slash D5, enter, connect to 0, 5, code, WKS1. That is connect, enter, even 9.1, WKS. Copy, enter, password code. Copy, enter, last login code, 9.24.9.50.51, double list. Sudo. Sudo, enter, look back to the right, password for copy code. Copy, enter, list of WKS1 code, slash home, slash copy number. Two. Add. Show.
Okay, so the interface is down. Ifconfig
F0 192.168.25.2.
Okay, break back. Whoever's direct messaging me on Twitter, then that's just tough because I don't even have it installed on this workstation. Okay. Do I have a disdain for Twitter? You betcha.
190,
hurrah! We have communication with the workstation. Everybody happy with all of that? I realise listening to my jaws isn't that exciting, but we do get to the fun stuff here.
Yep.
Okay, so now what we do is we can actually... There is a TFTP daemon running on the workstation, and we can actually copy configurations up to the workstation.
Enter, port number.
So we go copy,
running.
TFTP.
TFTP, enter, address, name, remote, bracket,
192.168. I should stop doing that because that's naughty podcast behaviour number 975.
25, period. 2, enter.
Yeah, that'll do.
Enter. Period.
Ooh, it broke.
Period. Period.
The workstation?
Period.
No, just the fact that I can't... copy that in. Okay, let's just try one more thing. So, copy.
Running.
TFTP.
TFTP. Enter. 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 Enter.
FTP boot slash Perth.
Slash boot slash Perth.
Conf.
Conf. Enter.
Ah. So, my TFTP is broken, so I've got to look into it and find out why that is broken. But when the TFTP works, it will copy it up there in seconds flat, and the file will show up on the remote workstation, and it will be all good. And you'll have a configuration file stored on your workstation. I hate it when stuff goes wrong like that. Oh, I wonder... I think I know what might be going on here.
slash UI, enter, enter, 0, I code, double, enter, map, new, slash, 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 root, slash,
Let's try now.
Slash C3.
I can't type sometimes. Copy running. Run TFTP. Okay, it still doesn't work, so I'm going to have to look into that, but when it does work, and I do have TFTP configured and installed on those workstations, I need to figure out exactly what is going wrong with it. I will post to the mailing list with the exact steps that you, the exact file names and stuff you need to actually put in to make that go. So I apologize that that didn't work. It did last year when I looked at it, but it doesn't at the moment. Okay, yeah, that's pingable. So we need to look at that. I honestly can't remember how I set up the TFTP, and I don't see the point of wasting your guys' time with fixing it, because you might see me type a lot of Linux commands, but it's probably not an appropriate use of your time.
Okay,
it's not being started from there.
Right,
I'm going to have a look at that outside the lecture, because I cannot see why that is not working.
No,
I can't find the configuration files in 5 seconds. So, we're not going to fix that live. Oops. Don't do that. Now, I shall. Now, everybody had enough of demo stuff, because we can do the password recovery next week, or I can do the password recovery now. It'll only take about 5 minutes or so, otherwise you guys can get to working on stuff and we can do password recovery next week.
That process you just showed, does that also, would that also work to send the config as a file to a host off of the network instead of to one of the workstations inside the network?
You can't send it off the network because there's no connection to the internet on the pod. It's deliberate. We're not allowed to connect our lab hardware directly to the internet.
Right. No, I'm thinking in a real world setting. If we were using this as a tool, the way you presented it, it's just as possible to send it to another machine somewhere else if you were working remotely.
Absolutely. If you have the ability to send TFTP traffic out through your firewall, then yes, you could copy it to a machine off the network. I would be questioning the wisdom of doing that, because TFTP is unencrypted. So you are basically shoveling your Cisco configuration in clear text over the worldwide internet. And yes, believe you me, there are password crackers for Cisco configurations. But if the risk vector is low enough and you've got control of all of the points between you and the machine you're copying it to, yes, you can copy it off the network.
So to be completely secure, your other method would be best if you could gain an SSH connection to where you were going and just do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be another way. And I mean, if you've got a local workstation plugged into the local network and you grabbed it off that way, I mean, if the network, if the points that you're actually connecting to are secure within themselves, then yes, that would be fine. But what I would generally recommend is that you copy the configurations off onto another machine that is on the current network, where possible, so that you're not shoveling your configurations for your routers over the big bad internet in unencrypted form.
Thanks.
Okay, does anybody want to see password recovery? Sorry, go ahead, John.
Just a quick question. I know you won't be able to demo it now, but how would the just default the other going back the other way? What would you do to get it back onto the router if you were able to get that configuration onto one of the workstations and you wanted to restore it later?
Easy. Copy space TFTP space startup, and that will copy the from a TFTP server to the startup config. Or copy TFTP space and then the name of a configuration file that you want stored in Flash, and then you put in the server name and the file name, and it will suck it back.
Oh, okay.
It's like the DOS copy command, copy source target. So if I /C3 copy question mark. Okay, so you've got all different ways. You've got X modem, Z modem, Y modem. Apparently you can also copy over SSH connections, which I think was new in iOS 11 point something. And you can actually copy things like iOS images and stuff off. You can TFTP the entire iOS image off. But as my TFTP doesn't seem to be working at the moment, we won't be demoing that because you guys want to play with the routers, not me, so I will go back in later and figure out what's going on with that, because it was working when I last looked at it. Okay, do people want to see the password recovery or not? Shall we do that next week?
Yeah,
we could. I don't know how long it takes.
It takes 2 or 3 minutes, maybe.
Oh, let's just do it while you're set up.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's do it. All right. So, password recovery. Googling up Cisco password recovery will give you all sorts of articles on how to do it. Basically, what you need to do is send a break within the... Oh, let me show you something. Show version. There it is, configuration register 2102. Sorry, what did you want to say, Kevin? Did you want to say something or add something in, Kevin? I thought I heard you key up. Oh, okay, all right. Okay, so what you need to do is you need to send a break to the router within 60 seconds of power up. So,
when you
asked
if you should do the password recovery, all I said was, let's do it.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's cool. Alright, so you need to send a break, which is Alt-B, to the router within 60 seconds of power-up once you've turned the router on. How do we do this? We open another TerraTerm session. So I now have two. I'm just going to go in with the administrative password because it's easier. Now, I connect into the power switch, which is the thing that is going to turn things on and off, which is port 2. Let's see if I've got passwords set up on here properly. It is a thing that has a serial port, an Ethernet port, and 16 IEC ports, with relays on them, and basically you can get in remotely and turn stuff on and off as if you were flipping wall switches. Alright, so if I alt-tab into my other TerraTerm window, see the router is alive. I will not do its alive impressions as they would be on Weird Science, but the router is working. Now if I turn it off, slash off 3. I am. It's off. You can check that if you really want to, going up here. So what it says is router 2 defined, which is the password, off, which is its current state, on, which is its a default state when you reboot the remote power manager, otherwise everything wouldn't come back on after a power failure. And now if I alt-tab into this one here, ooh, it's dead. Okay. So, what I do, I suppose I should have set a secret on this router to really demo it properly, but we'll just show you basically what happens. Now, what I've got to do is turn this router on, and then I've got 60 seconds to get in and execute the break command. Slash on 3. Now, we alt-tab over here. And we go alt-B. Okay, we are now in the ROM mon. See how the prompt has changed? Now, we change the configuration register. FREG 0x2142. I've now changed the configuration register to 2142, which will ignore the startup config. And I now either have to power cycle or reset. So I will go reset, and up it comes again. And the router is just decompressing everything. Now what will actually happen is it will bypass the startup config, and then what you need to do is copy the startup config to the running config, and then reset your passwords. Okay. We don't need to hear that. It's just putting piles of hash across my screen. And good for it. And because it's a Cisco, it's taking all day to boot up. Okay. And it's asking us, do we want to enter the initial configuration dialog because we have no configuration there. So I'm going to say no. And the other thing you've got to keep in mind is when you bring the router up like this, all of the interfaces are shut down. Now, what we've got to do now is get our configuration back. So we go config T. Where do you do this? No, that doesn't do it. Config-register, there it is. And we set it back to 0x2102. And you can actually look at what all the different bit masks mean if you really want to by going CONFI *? Oh, it doesn't tell you. There is a way to get a list of them, and if you look up the knowledge base, it's in that knowledge base. So we'll just leave it set at that. We'll go end, and we will do a reload. That wasn't what I wanted to do. Reload. No. Yes. And now our configuration is back to the way we had it before. So that is how you do a password recovery. And I wouldn't blame you for re-listening to the recording if you ever want to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I don't understand the part where you use that number. Is that refers to a revision number of the software?
No, what it actually is a configuration register sets the base configuration of the router. It's a 16-bit binary, 16-bit quantity, usually expressed in hexadecimal, and the different bits mean different things. So, for example, there's a bit that sets the console baud rate, there's a bit that sets which order you're going to try finding your iOS images, whether you're going to find them from Flash, TFTP, ROM, or what you're going to do. And then there's a bit, which is bit 0x20, or having the 16-bit set, that tells the router to bypass its startup configuration. So when we change it from 2102, which is the default, to 2142, we tell the router to bypass its startup configuration.
Oh, I see. So changing any one of those values changes those different options.
That's right. And see, as you can see, we're back to Perth greater than, so we're back to normal, and I didn't break whoever's router we were configuring. So this is a good thing. Break back out of that. Close out of that.
At least you didn't have to listen to the name of mine.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's alright. Break back out of that. And now I'm back to push to talk, and I will just go and take myself off the cables. And we're back, and Jaws isn't, so let's... Okay. Any questions on any of that? I realise that was a flying visit through router configuration, but anyone got any questions on that so far? If you want to know how the TFTP stuff works, you can look up the man pages of ATFTP, which is the one I'm using on the workstations, but I will go through and figure out what's going wrong with it later on this morning.
Yeah, very cool.
Oh, it helps when I press the key. Where did we get up to last week with our configuration-y bits and pieces? Did we want to continue on with that? Does everybody want to continue on with setting their routers up to communicate and stuff? I can give everybody the link to the Dropbox file again if people don't have it.
So do we need to redo everything we did? Actually, it was week before last. Or can we?
No.
Is there a way we can start?
It's all still there. I didn't ruin your configurations. I can if you like.
So we just have to set the IP addresses on the workstations again?
Yes, you will have to set the IP addresses on the workstations, but whoever you were on workstation 1, you were lucky because I just reset yours for you as part of my demonstration, so you kind of win there.
Okay. Should I log on? I was on router 3 and workstation 6.
Okay, well, who wants to do what? Who wants to have a play with what? Because, you all need to go at these sorts of things.
I handled everything on pod 2 the last time. I did workstations and the router, so I'm happy to let someone else have a turn.
Alright.
I'd like to do one of the routers. I'm pretty familiar with Linux, but yeah, I wouldn't mind doing one of the routers.
Okay, well, do you want to have a play with the routers on the router on pod 2 then? You can play with the router on pod 2, and someone else can help you with the workstation. We've got four connections, and as we did a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know whether David's listened to the recordings, but I actually do tell you what commands you need, so you're not left high and dry, and that goes for everybody. I will give you hints on the commands you need. I'm not quite that nasty. Well, not yet, anyway. There we go, people. In the chat is the public link for the exercise that as we were working on it the other day. So if anybody needs to refetch it or get an up-to-date copy, feel free to do so. There it is. So what we need to do, guys, is we need to get all of the routers talking to all of the workstations, and we need to get the IP addresses configured on everything. So I don't care who does what, but you guys work out amongst yourself who's doing what. All workstations and all pods are operative. You have a maximum of four connections into the remote bundle. I am sitting here ready to answer any questions you may have. Oh, hang on, I've given you guys the wrong exercise. That one will scare you. Oh, no, you don't want to do that one. Let me just get you the proper one that you actually want, because that one is rather terrifying. That'll be the one you do in a few weeks' time.
This link's the wrong one.
Yeah, that's a really complex exercise, that one. That's where you actually get them talking to wireless access points and stuff.
Oh, yes, I see something about clock rate.
Yeah, see, I said it was a nasty one. Here's the one that isn't so nasty. Sorry about that. There we go. Perth 192.168.25.blah, gateway 25.1. This is all looking somewhat less traumatic. Okay, so I don't know who wants to break up, who wants to do what, but you're all basically picking bits of it and doing bits of it that you want to do. You'll all need to cooperate with each other and configure different bits and pieces, and I will help you guys with the serial links when you get to that section. But we want the Perth network with 25.0, and it needs to be able to ping 25.1, 25.2, 25.3, which are the workstations. We want the ISP network being able to ping the two workstations on the ISP network. And we want the Headland network to be able to ping the two workstations on the Headland network. Is everybody in shock?
I'm just trying to figure out where we left off.
Routers are configured. Workstations have no configuration of IP addresses on them. Routers cannot talk to each other yet. But your first job is to get the routers to ping the workstations on their respective LANs.
So is router 2 the ISP?
Router 2 is the ISP. And it should be 192.31.88.1 should be its Ethernet interface. Okay, who's confused and how can I help?
So I'm setting that IP address on the fast Ethernet interface, is that right?
You are, on the ISP fast Ethernet interface.
That should already be done, Jason. I did that before, if everything is still there, as Kerry said. The router is done, it's just the workstations that need to be done again.
You can always check it with a show interface, fast Ethernet 0/0, check the interface and see if it is still done. That would be one of the things I would certainly be doing.
If workstation 2 isn't done yet, I can tackle that one.
Yep, by all means. You're configuring it for 192.168.25.3.
Yeah, it looks like router 2 is...
And I did have pings working in both directions when I left it, so once you redo the workstations, it should still be good.
Okay, so do I need to redo the workstations on pod 2 then?
We could do one of the workstations and send somebody else in to do one of the other ones. Do you want to do one of the other workstations, David? We'll even tell you what to type. I won't ask him because he's not here. His internet must have had problems. Okay, so does somebody else want to do one of the other workstations? Because I want to share it out a bit. And I don't want to pick on anybody. Give me 15 seconds and somebody can do it, or I will start picking on people.
Yeah. I'm in 3, so somebody can do 4.
All right. John, are you doing 1? Or you're doing 2, aren't you?
I'm on 2, yep.
Okay.
And I would like a reminder, if you don't mind, on the commands to show the configuration and to set the IP address.
Coming up in chat. There you are. IP space AD space show space F0. Or you can go ifconfig space F0, that's another way of showing it. And then you go ifconfig space F0 space an IP address, and we're using class C mask, so you don't need to override that.
Okay, workstation 3 is 88.2.
Okay, anybody not working on anything?
I'm not.
Okay, do you want to do one of the workstations on 5 or 6 or something? Or...
Sure.
Okay, and I can ping workstation 3 from router 2 both directions.
Oh, good. Okay. Now, does anybody else need practice doing workstation 4, or do you get to do workstation 4 as well?
I'm giving a play with, since no one was volunteering, I am trying to get in with Mac Terminal to do one of Jason's workstations.
Okay, no worries. So you'll be doing workstation 4. You're telnetting to www.qcat.org. And using a lot of VO action.
Indeed.
Press Command, Shift, Control, Alt, tilde, 7, 9, P, down arrow to make interesting things happen. Sorry, I'll stop being cynical now.
Should I be testing the other way? I can ping now from, we've got the workstation 2 configured and I can ping the router. Should I be going the other way to see if I can ping?
Yep, break back, Control B, drop back onto the the router and see if we can ping the workstation. While you guys are messing around there, I shall check my boxcar.
What am I putting in here, Jason? I don't have the file open. 192.31.88.3, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, that should do it.
I'm not getting a ping back from you. Did you set the did you set the default gateway?
No. It's been too long of a day. IP add GW.
Route space add space GW.
Yeah, I'm tired too. Apparently, I keep forgetting to hit my push to talk key. GW or default GW?
Oh, route add default GW, I should say. Yeah. Or you can go route add 0.0.0.0 GW, wherever. But yeah, route add default GW. You are absolutely correct. I mean, we could start half an hour earlier if people want us to, if that'd help.
Is it just route by itself to show the routing table from the workstation?
Certainly is.
Yeah, I'm still not getting anything, Matthew.
Okay, who's pinging what, and what are we trying to do? Because I can help out if I need to.
I could pop into the workstation. I can't ping workstation 4 from the route.
On workstation 5, the table is showing one entry for 192.168.26.0, so it should be okay then, right?
Well, ping it from one of the routers and find out. Or get somebody else to ping it from one of the routers. In IT support, I don't like words like should and might and could and would. It either works or it doesn't. That's just what I do anyway. But yeah, it should be alright.
Matthew, can you ping the router?
Yeah, it looks like I keyed something in wrong. I'm doing it again.
Cool.
Yes, Jason, you can have more time on subnetting. No problem.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sorry, just skimming my inbox and there's a message. I'm like, yes, fine, no problem. Look, the reality is, guys, I just set deadlines to try and keep you guys on track. I just want everything done by the end, of course, but if I do put deadlines on, it tends to give people targets to work towards. It tends to work fairly well.
When is end of course, by the way?
Sorry, what is what? Oh, end of course deadline. I can go look it up. I'll tell you in a second.
And I guess we still don't know anything about Exploration 2, eh?
Not yet. I'm still battling modelling Exploration 1, and it depends whether we've got money to pay me next year. Because if nobody pays me, I don't work here.
Understood. Yeah, I don't want to lose momentum on this stuff, so I'm trying to figure out what I want to do for continuing on here.
Well, I can put some weight on Ian and see if we're going to run Exploration 2 next semester, and I'll let you know in the next week or so, because we may.
No, because I know there's a few of us, I don't like me for sure, Brian for sure, you know, might want, probably would do it, so.
Myself probably as well, especially if the Linux course doesn't happen. I don't know that I could do both at once. Try it again. I should have fixed.
Oh, and if you haven't gone and liked us on Facebook, try and do that at some point when you get to it. We're www.facebook.com/CiscoVision, but I think everybody has. But if you haven't and you have a Facebook, then we'd like it if you liked us. That would be good. Advertisement ends.
Got it, Matthew. So what does that actually do, Kerry? I'm just curious.
Oh, liking us? I think it lets us pop things into your newsfeed. So you'll see newsfeed entries from the Cisco Academy, and it also makes us look more popular. I think that's what liking does. I'll just check.
Okay. Just curious.
I know it's the first point is definitely true.
Yeah. You see stuff in your newsfeed from us, and then if you don't want to see stuff in our newsfeed because you had a big fight with me, you can unlike us. But we'd hope you wouldn't do that, generally speaking.
Kerry, would it help if I emailed Ian directly and had, you know, Brian Moore or any of those guys email him directly?
Yep.
Would that be good? All right, we'll do.
Oh, the other thing I was going to mention is really cool accessible KeePass manager for Windows is KeePass version 2. It is portable if you want it to be, and it has accessibility add-ons and stuff, and it's really nice, and it can also type passwords and stuff in, just in case everybody doesn't already have a password manager that they're happy with.
I use LastPass, and it's good under Firefox. Under IE, it sucks, but Firefox is pretty good.
Oh, I don't have... I'm going to have to install Flash. I don't have Flash installed on here, it appears. I'll just do that.
Can someone try pinging the third router and see if it's responding to them?
We don't have connectivity to your router yet.
Kerry, what else should I be doing on pod 2 here? Is there anything else... everything is talking to everything else on pod 2 now.
Alright, so pod 2 is all complete and everything's talking to everything?
Yes.
Alrighty.
In pod 1, I can ping back and forth between the workstation 2 and the router, but I haven't set a default gateway yet. I was wondering if that's something I should be doing on the workstation.
It's probably a good idea. Here comes the command in the chat. There we go.
I don't remember if Kerry put in a default gateway on Workstation 1 when he was in there. Neither, John.
Nope.
Should I do that one too, or does someone else want to do that?
You can do it if you want the practice.
Okay.
Yeah, we're seeing it. We're seeing noises of extra funding, so if we're lucky, guys, we might actually have a Linux course next year, because I'd love to teach one of those.
I'd love to take it.
Same here. And also the X-Relation 2 sounds interesting.
I'm just logging back into Network Academy so I can check the end date of the class for you guys.
I've got a bit of heavy weather kicking up here, so if I drop out, you'll know why.
Fair enough.
Commercial power is pretty reliable, but I can't say the same for my ISP.
It's always a bit disturbing when that's the case.
Kerry, I don't know... or does anyone else know what I'm doing wrong here? I've set up, just to confirm the router configuration and the workstation, but I can't get them to ping each other.
Did you make sure the interface on the router? Yeah, did you make sure that you did the no shutdown on the interface on the router?
Yeah, I did.
Have you done with the show interface and check whether the line protocol's up?
So, like, show int 0/0?
Show int fast ethernet 0/0? Yes.
Yeah, it's up and line is up.
Okay, hang on. At the moment, the course ends on the 31st of December, 2011. That is changeable.
Okay, cool.
Okay, which one are we having trouble with? I can probably drop in Corey and have a look and see if I can see anything wrong.
It's on workstation 5 and router 3. I can get off here.
I'll tell you if I need you to in a second. I'll have a look at workstation 5 first. Yeah, you will have to log out. We're out of connections.
I can log.
Okay. Doesn't matter who does. Corey can stay in if he wants, and you can log out, and I'll have a quick look.
I'm half out.
All right, I'm out.
Okay, I'm in.
I'm out too. I set gateways on workstations 1 and 2.
Okay, I'm seeing 26.2 on workstation 5, which is what I should be seeing.
I hadn't done 6 yet. I was trying to get the 5 to talk to the router.
I wonder if it's got a sticky Ethernet interface.
No, it was working a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I'm just going to reboot it and see how we go. Now, the other thing we've got to start coming up with, guys, is some IP address ranges and masks for our serial links. We need a serial link from router 2, which is the ISP, to router 1, and router 2, which is the ISP, to router 3.
Okay, so serial links would be serial 00 and 10, or 00 and 01. I'm not quite sure how those work.
00 is the default one. 00 connects to 00 on router 1 connects to 00 on router 2, and 10 on router 2 connects to 00 on router 3. So they always connect in on router on 00 on the routers 1 and 3.
Okay, and then I need to set the clock rate on router 2, is that right?
You do. And I would set the clock rate to say 64,000 or something like that.
Okay, is it clock rate or just clock?
Clock rate in interface configuration mode.
Okay, so I do interface serial 00 and then IP address and all that, and then clock rate, or does it matter what order?
Yep.
Yes, it matters what order, or no?
Yeah, that's what you do.
Okay, I'll give it a shot and see if it explodes. Except I can't log into the bundle. It's looks like it's overloaded.
Okay, I'll drop out. Okay, that's weird. I'm just going to log out. I'll look at that one later. For some reason, that workstation isn't talking to the other one. I don't know whether it's a cabling fault or what it is, so I'll have to look into that.
Maybe you should worry about workstation 6 then, when he's...
Yep. And I'm just logging out of Canadian bacon pizza.
That's why I didn't want you to be deviling that one. Kind of a long name.
Okay, I'm out of the bundle.
Okay, in config mode, isn't it int space serial 0/0? Isn't that what I should be doing?
Yep, but feel free to use lots of your tab key to complete them out. So go int tab... SER tab.
How are IP addresses usually done for the serial links? Should they be private IP addresses as well? You were mentioned setting IP addresses for those.
Yeah, they can be. Oh, I could do with waking up too. Private is certainly what we're going to use for this configuration. We can actually put the IP addresses for the serials well outside the range, so we could have something like 10.4.0.0/28 or whatever. We can use those sorts of addresses. We want to give them a subnet mask of 255, 255, 255, 252. So there'll be four address subnets with a link at one end and a link at the other end for each of the serial interfaces.
I can't get Roto2 to go into serial interface config. I'm trying INT space serial 0/0 and it's not doing.
That's because Router2 is a special one. It's serial 0/0/0.
What?
Yeah, it's a different iOS on that one. It's like a different, slightly different to routers 1 and 3, and I think it's 0/0/0. So check your tab completion, because that might be what's biting you.
Can I use like a /24, or like, will it take a netmask like that, or do I have to write it?
You have to write the netmask out, as far as I recollect.
So to do the netmask, it's IP space address space, and then IP, and then don't I do a slash, and then the netmask? Or is it
no, it's net? Space and then the netmask. But as I said, question mark will help you, remember? So go IP space address space question mark and it will tell you what it wants. And don't forget to let me know what IP addresses you're setting in case you set them so that I can add them to the file.
Have you established who's doing the other routers 1 and 3 yet? I mean, I don't want to hog one if somebody wants to jump on it. But
looks like you can probably work on one of them. It looks like it's all pretty quiet.
Okay, I'm stuck here, and I am looking at question. It's not taking the mask. When I do question, if I do IP address question, it just tells me a.b.c.d. It doesn't mention anything about mask.
Yeah, so put the IP address in first, and then put space and hit question mark, and it'll tell you what it wants next.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't give you it all. It doesn't give it all to you at once.
No. It's like teaching a beginning computer user. You can't just go, right, here's the word processor, and we format this, and we do this, and we do this. You've got to start them off with the on button.
Okay, got it. 10.1.1.1 on serial 0/0/0.
Alrighty. 255.255.255.252?
Correct. Okay, so I've got the IP and the clock rate set. So serial 0/0/0, so which one? So now I need to do 1/0/0, is that right?
You also need to do 1/0/0, yes. Okay, so if he's got 10.1.1.1, that means that the IP address on router 1 has to be 10.1.1.2 for whoever's setting that up, because it's got to be on the same subnet as what he set up on the ISP.
I'll take that one. And router 1 is also prompting me for three numbers for the serial interface. Would it also be 0/0/0/0?
Yes, it will. Okay, and for anybody who cares, I've just updated the Dropbox file with those IP addresses and masks and stuff in case you need to refer back to it or look at it.
I'm not understanding what I'm getting back from question mark for that second serial interface. It doesn't appear to be 1/0/0.
Just go int space serial and go question mark and see what you can what it wants.
Okay, not to be a pain, but I tried setting up workstation 6 and either I'm doing something wrong or I don't know what, but it and the router cannot ping each other either. And,
it is possible that a cable has fallen out of the bottom of workstation 6. I will check after lecture.
Okay, it's saying serial, you can go to 0, it says 0/2.
Oh, so the other interface is serial 2, so it's 2/0/0, just to keep you on your toes.
Okay, I've just disconnected them for now. Is there anything I can do, or just kind of...
Hang on, let me see what the time is. We're getting to the point where we're going to save our configs and call it a day, but we are getting places. You could copy running config to startup-config on router 3 if you like, before you bail. And then when I get the TFTP working, I will make sure that all the configurations are backed up onto the workstations and show you guys how to do it next week, first thing.
Yeah, I'm still not getting it. Maybe try next week. Yeah, 1/0/0, 2/0/0, neither one of those are working.
All right. I will look at... actually, it might be 0/1/0, but I will have a look and let you know, because I can't remember how the WIC cards are laid out in that router. It's an odd one.
But you want to back up your running config to
startup config, so that it's all the way you set it for when you come back next week.
So copy running-config /startup-config.
Yep. Or if you're saving yourself some typing, copy run start.
This may be slow-paced and a bit time-consuming, but I find it very interesting to actually see the stuff coming together and to put it together piece by piece. Maybe I'm strange, but I think it's pretty cool.
No, I completely agree with you. That's great. I actually peeked at that second exercise, the one that you sent out by accident. That one looks cool, too.
Oh, we'll get to that. We might do that as an end of year finale. If you all manage to do the second one, we all get to play Top Speed together.
Cool.
Okay, so everybody should be backing up their router configurations, because we're just about ready to shut down for the day. Sorry it took so long to demo those other things, but I should have the TFTP running by next week definitely, and I will certainly have. Certainly get the clear out the names of the interfaces.
So that was copy running-config startup-config, is that right?
Yep.
As far as curriculum goes, Carrie, I'm done with labs and exams up through module 6. Is that about right for where we are in the time schedule, or would you recommend pressing on to 7?
No, that's fine where we're up to. I've got to do some modifications on 7. And as some people will have seen, you will have been getting marks back for some of the stuff you guys have submitted, which is always a good thing.
No, that's great. So I can use the time this week to try to tackle that last exercise of Australia.
That's the one.
Carrie, can you re-enable module... what is it? I guess module... Hold on. 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you re-enable module 6 exam for me? I started it, and then a friend showed up, and yeah, couldn't finish it. So, I don't think I can go back and do it. Can
I think you can. It shouldn't actually require you to if it says it needs to be re-enabled by the instructor to get hold of me. But as far as I recollect, it should just let you back in and go, oh, you were halfway through this, and here's where you got up to.
Okay, so it said it only gave you 2 hours or something after you hit the button.
Yeah, did you close it or did you walk away?
Walked away.
Okay. Well, I've reactivated the exam sequence, so just see if it's stuck, and if it is, drop me a note and I'll sort it out.
Alright, no problem.
So I just did that just to confirm so this thing doesn't crash or something. It said building configuration, and it said okay, and then it returned to the prompt, so I could disable and log off, and that's what it should have done when I saved.
It should have, but if you wanted to make sure, you could have done a show /startup-config and see whether your configuration was in there. That would be the responsible network admin way of checking it.
Okay.
If it's one of the things you'll learn about network administration is there are no shortcuts. There are no easy ways. Shortcuts that you take now will be work that you will do later. This is the unfortunate reality of network administration in my experience. Also, problems that fix themselves break themselves again.